Okay, here we go. Purim Tov Shin Pei Gimel with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Zuchus Yagin Alinu, the Yartzeit coming up Shushan Purim, the first Yartzeit. Alein Shvili Nishmas. For Esther Tehila Bas of Gavriel Pinchas, whose Shloshim is coming up next week, Benz Hashem Yisbarach. Let's say one idea from the first three Parakim, Parak Aleph, Parak Beis, Parak Gimel from Rav Chaim, Zuchus Yagin Alinu. And this is in a Sefer Siach Purim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Amigil's Purim, and Esther, Kampan, by his grandson, Rav Avram Yeshaya Steinman. The first idea comes from Rav Chaim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, and Miguel's Esther. The Pasuk says, when Haman, when Muchad finally tells Achashverosh that she should be killed, and at the end of the day, Haman is telling Achashverosh that every man should be in charge of their household. Look what he says. Vayishach tzvarim lakol medinos ha-melech ha-medino medina k'chsava. Last pasuk in the parak tells us he sent letters to all the king's provinces in their own language. Very simple question. Rav Chaim says, why did the Megillah need to mention Achashverosh decreed that each person speak and write in his own language? Why is that point necessary for the Purim story? Right, Gemara Megillah tells us that Dav Zayin Esther says Kisvinu the Dairus. They wrote the story here. Every word is so crucial. Why do we have to know that everyone in the original decree to the whole Shushan, to the whole empire, had to be in their own language? So Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis gives a very nice answer, a little complicated, not for now. It says Rav Chaim. I'm going to just read it in English because it's so beautiful. Rav Chaim offers another explanation of why this first decree was part of the miracle. If not for the fact that Achashverosh had decreed that everyone speak his own language, Achashverosh would have sent out his decrees written only in Persian. However, since presumably not everyone spoke Persian, many people would have needed to have the documents translated. If so, the officials of the empire, who presumably were the ones who understood Persian, would have been able to translate the decrees. When Achashverosh issued his later set of decrees that the Jews could defend themselves, the officials, who were likely anti-Semites, Jew-haters, Rav Chaim says, could have translated the decrees otherwise. The reason this did not happen was because Achashverosh had previously issued a decree that everyone should speak in his own language. Therefore, when Achashverosh issued a decree, he sent it to the entire empire in all various languages. Accordingly, everyone could understand the decree that at the end of the day, that the husbands are in charge of the household, and that Vashi was going to be killed, and Zehu. It emerges from the fact, says Rav Chaim, that Achashverosh sent out letters in its own that was a very crucial part to the Purim Nes, which is why Dafka the Megillah included it. Moreover, says Rav Chaim, Mamuchan, according to Megillah, according to one opinion, was the person who originated the idea of relaying the decrees to each person in his own language, shows even more Hashkacha Pratis. That not only did the story of Haman start when he was Haman, but even Memuchad. Memuchad is the one who says we should send it out in our own language. The Hashkacha Pratzim says in every detail, specifically even in the first decree, in the 22nd Pasuk to our Megillah Esther, which seemingly has nothing to do with the miracle, says Rav Chaim, no. Because why? Because if Achashverosh issued his decrees that the Jews could defend themselves as they wish, the officials, who were of course anti-Semites, would not have told them they could do that. But because he originally sent out this original decree and it was in Hebrew or it was in all the 69 other languages, everyone got their lashon, everyone got their decree the first time in their language, in their email, in their inbox, and so too, so the second time and the third time when they could defend themselves. And the Haman's chevra, even after Haman was killed, would not have been able to touch them because Klai Yisrael was getting the Hashkacha Pratis, was getting seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu. That at the end of the day, it was said in their own language. What a magnificent idea from Rav Chaim. That's Perek Aleph. Moving on to Perek Beis. Perek Beis. So we're introduced to Mordechai ben Yair ben Chimi ben Kish ish Yimini. So the Gemara Megillah tells us, why does he have to tell us all these ben Yair ben Chimi ben Kish? So these three different characteristics for Mordechai. You base him at Beis. Yair, he's the son of Yair. Why? Because Heir, he brightened up the eyes of the Jews through Tefillah. Shimi, because he was the person whose prayers Hashem heeded to his Shama. He's called son of Kish, because he knocked on Hashem's mercy, begging that Jews should be saved. Rav Chaim elaborates on this Gemara, How did Mordechai brighten the eyes of the Jews? Question number one. And he answers it very simply. After Haman was defeated, the Gemara, the Megillah tells us very famously, Ches Tezayin, La Yehuda Mahisa Ora. The Jews had light. The Gemara Megillah Tezayin on my base tells us, Ora Zu Torah. Rashi says on the spot that what did Haman actually do? Haman prohibited Klai Yisrael to study. But now after his downfall, the Jews again had the light of Torah. This is how Mordechai brightened the eyes of the Jewish people. Through his efforts, through Mordechai's courageous efforts, and through his salvation, and through his bravery and his serious nefesh, he finally able to bring Klai Yisrael back the light of Torah that Haman has sought to suppress and to bring away. So it's not just a cute idea, Lahuda Maisaora. No, Haman actually, one of his decrees, Klai Yisrael couldn't learn. So Dafka is Dafka Heir. Heir, what did brighten the Jews? What did he do, Dafka? How did he brighten the eyes? Dafka through Torah. He brightened the eyes of it because Ora is the Torah. And the Sfasemes tells us beautifully, Rechaim has in Kultus Sfasemes, the Ora is the Torah, right? The Hudimai Sora, the Simchas of his Akar, Ora is the Torah, Simchas of Yontif, Sassan Zumila, Tfilin Zuyaka, then just say it. Just say, like Yehudimai Sora, Torah, Yontif, Mila, Tfilin. Says the Sfasemes, and others explain as well, is that we understood that Torah was the light of our lives. Before that, we forgot that it was the light, it was the fire, it was the passion. And Mordechai brought it back to us. And he said, no. It wasn't just good enough to be able to, you have to write it. You have to write the adjective of what it describes. The aura, the real light, the only light in this world, is the aura of Hashem, is the aura of Torah, is the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Dafka, what Mordechai is able to bring back into our lives. What did he brighten? He brightened our eyes to the darkness that Haman and Amalek tried to say you couldn't learn. He brought it back. So now, what about the rest of the two, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish? Ben Shimi, says Rav Chaim, Ben Shimi, he said, he quoted Hashem to hear our tefillos. And he, Rav Chaim quotes the Medrash in Esther Rabbah. Originally, when Haman issued this decree against Klal Yisrael, very interesting Medrash, El Yonavi and Shemaim told Moshe Rabbeinu the decree. Moshe asked Elio, is there a worthy person in that generation? Elio says, yes, his name is Mordechai. Moshe says to Elio, tell him, he should daven and I will daven here. He should daven there, and I'm going to daven here, says Moshe. Together we can ask Hashem for mercy. It's clear from this Medrash, says Ruchaim, that Mordechai was the only living Jew capable of effectively praying to annul Haman's gzeira. Hence he was referenced to the one whose tefillahs Hashem heard. So we did the Ben Ya'ir, and then we did the Ben Kish, that Hashem heard. No, sorry, he did the Ben Shimi, that Hashem heard his tefillahs based off this Medrash, Moshe and Elio, Moshe to Elio, I'm going to daven, he's going to daven too soon. So we see that Mordechai had the great Torah of Torah, the great Torah of tefillah. And how do you get to Ben Kish? So Ben Kish, what does Ben Kish stand for? He knocked on the gates of mercy, begging that Hashem should open up his mercy. The Chaim brings it to the Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed. Basically, it tells us that ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah have been locked. Since Mordechai lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Shemaim for tefillah was locked. So what happened? Mordechai had to knock to have it open. The Gemara tells us that tefillah was locked, but the gates of tears were always open. But says Chaim, since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah were locked. So why Dafka Ben Kish? He knocked that the gates should be open. So Ben Ya'ir, beautiful. Ben Ya'ir is that he brightened it through the Torah. Ben Shimi says he was the Dafka, the one who brought that our tefillah was answered. And finally, Ben Kish, he knocked it because at the end of the day, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, the gates of tefillah were locked. He was begging for Hashem's mercy. What a beautiful insight. Ben Yar, Ben Shimon, Ben Kish, Baruch Chaim. Moving on to Perek Gimel, idea number three. Idea number three, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, Beis. Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtacheve. Mordechai wouldn't bow down. So Hasemes says, it should say Mordechai lo kara. I'd say the future tense. Rav Chaim doesn't quote this, but Sasemes could just let it say, Mordechai infused every single Jew, no matter who they were in the future, able to stand up strong against the Hamans, against the whatever it is in your life. He put it into our dina. That's not what Rav Chaim deals with. Rav Chaim deals with the following question. We know Chazal tells us in the Gilo Tazayim Na'af, and the Medrash says that Mordechai didn't bow because Haman had a pestle, he had an Avodah Zarah on his neck. But can I ask you a question, says Rav Chaim? Says Rav Chaim, why did Mordechai sit every day at the king's gate? He knew that Haman would pass by. Just don't sit by the gate. Just don't sit by the gate, Mordechai. Number one. And number two, if you're going to sit by the gate, just lay, if you see Haman coming from like a mile down, just lie down already. Which, according to Shechadach Yordea, Simon Kuf Nun Siv Gimel, that you're allowed to do, because you're not bowing down to Haman. You're lying down already, and he happens to pass by. So at the end, number one, why did he go to the gate? Number two, just bow down before. He could have avoided this whole disaster. Says Reb Chaim, beautiful. The Medrash tells us Shiashim Rabba. Nebuchadnezzar announced his plan to set up a statue in front of representatives from each nation. Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah asked Yechezkel Hanavi what to do. Yechezkel told him to hide, not to come to the event where they were announcing his statue. Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah responded that if they hid, the other nations would say that every nation had bowed to Nebuchadnezzar, and they would say that that even the Jews were there, because they say every nation was there. So passively, even if they were hid, it would be a chilul Hashem. It would be a chilul Hashem. So what should we do? Yechezkel says back to them, what should we do then? Our desire, says Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to spare the statue by showing everyone the Jews don't bow to it. We're going to go there, we're going to refuse to bow. And everyone's going to say, the Jews didn't bow to the statue. Everybody else bowed, but we didn't bow. Mordechai says Reb Chaim had a similar idea. Mordechai didn't simply happen to be sitting at the king's gate. The Medrash tells us that Achashverosh had a representative from each nation. Esther convinced Achashverosh to have a representative of each nation, and Esther convinced the king to get Yodok from the Jews. Who was that? It was Mordechai. So if Mordechai would slip away, it would look like everyone bowed, including Mordechai. Everyone said everybody bowed. But the fact that Mordechai wasn't just passive against it, he was actively, deliberately present and didn't bow, the whole world would see. And Mordechai doesn't bow. There's a time to be passive, there's a time to be active. Mordechai understood from Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when it comes to Chilul Hashem, it comes to Kiddushim Shemaim, we stand up actively. Chas Hashem, scared. We're proud Jews, Ish Yehudi. We're proud of who we are. And at the end of the day, not in an arrogant, but Lady Baliba Bada Hashem. Mordechai just hid. It would have been a Chilul Hashem for Hashem's name. He had an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. Opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. So, Adina number one. Medina, we see the Hashkacha Pratis even in the opening letter, the opening decree, Rav Chaim says, we see that everyone had in their own language. We see the Hashkacha Pratis even in that, in this 22nd Pasuk to our Megillas Esther. Number two, Mordechai Ben Yair, Meshumi, Mekikish, the Ora, or the Ben Yair, the Torah that Haman locked up, and Shimi, the Tfilas that Mordechai was able to unleash, and Mekish was able to knock down, because the Beis image of the first time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, says Rav Chaim. And finally, why did he just have to sit at the gate? Just not sit at the gate? Because Mordechai learned that you can't just, it's not just good enough to not do something. You have to be active. When it comes to Kiddush Shemayim, when it comes to Mesirah Nefesh, when it comes to Chilul Hashem, you have to be active. Do what you can. You should be Zoichiv Ez Hashem to connect to the Tzaddik, to Reb Chaim's Torah. As the Moranayim tells us, the Moranayim, so Chassidim says, if you don't have the Tzaddik physically, but if you have the Torah of the Tzaddik, then you have the Tzaddik himself, Ez Hashem. Lech to Gavach. I failed him, pardon.